Good morning and welcome to the Tuesday edition of the KRFY Morning Show. This is your Tuesday Morning Show host, Julie Calamine, and it's going to be a great show this morning. We're going to be talking shortly with the Friends of Scotchman Peak Wilderness folks, and they're always a good group to talk to and about and everything that's going on with them. But before we jump into this fun interview for Tuesday morning, I have two short announcements I'd like to make. One is for an upcoming food drive. The folks over at the Latter-day Saints Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints asked me to announce this because it's going to be a big one, and I hope folks will take advantage of it. It's happening on Thursday, March 26th from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., and they are having a drive-through event while supplies last. They did it in January. I think it was January, and it was a very big food drive, so I think we can expect it to be that again. So just to repeat, they're working with Second Harvest Food Drive folks, and it's going to be at 602 Schweitzer Cutoff Road, March 26th from 11 to 1 p.m. And I hope if you need it and you need some food, you'll get to that. And that's that announcement. And then second announcement is one about us here at KRFY. And those of you who have listened forever would know that we normally have our spring membership drive a little bit later. It's often in early June or late May, but this year it's happening earlier due to some other events that'll be happening around that time, the later time. So just a heads up for folks to know that we are going to be having our spring membership drive March 23rd to March 29th. That's not very far off, and we'll be having lots of live music, interesting interviews, etc. And we're hoping you will consider either joining us as a new member or renewing your membership at that time. So those two things, they're big. All right, quick weather forecast and then on to the interview. So, boy, we had such nice, sunny, spring-like weather last week, and this week we're sort of back into that end of winter weather. But here it is today. Well, today pretty warm. We're looking for a high of 52. But pretty wet, chance of rain, low tonight, 44 with a 90% chance of rain. And then Wednesday, warm, but wet again, 53, 55 with, 70 down to 40% chance of rain. And, Wednesday night, it's a 60% chance. So you see where this is going, folks. Highs getting warmer, highs in the 50s, lows in the 40s, but pretty wet again. Not the best news for the folks at Schweitzer if that's going from what was snow into rain up there, but it's been an odd year for the skiers. Well, we're going to move from talking about skiing into talking about hiking, because the Friends of Scotchman Peak Wilderness folks do a lot of that, and they do a lot of work on trails. That's not going to be our main topic today, but I'm sure it will come up. So I'd like to go ahead and introduce two main folks, Rose Olson. Rose, hello.
Good morning, Julie.
We've talked before, and it's nice to see your happy face this morning. And you, as I understand, are you our new ED?
I am.
Executive Director. Rose, we're announcing your promotion to Executive Director of Friends of Scotchman Peaks Wilderness. You're hearing it here, yes, amid a fanfare of applause and everything. At least two of us are applauding.
Thanks, Julie.
Yes, and then along with you, Rose, is Mark Cochran. Hi, Mark.
Hello.
Rose, what is Mark's title? What is Mark? Main volunteer or something else?
Mark is our board chair.
Ooh, that's a lot bigger than I knew. I should have researched you before you showed up. Well, congratulations on that position,
too. Thank you. Yeah, I've been at it for a while now.
Yeah, I thought I knew you were on the board, but I didn't know you were the chair, so good on you. All right, so let's just take a short minute. We do this usually with all of our victims, our interviewees, to just ask how you came to be in Sandpoint, how you came to be working with the organization that you're with. So, Rose, you start, and then we'll ask Mark.
Okay, well, I actually grew up in northern Idaho, just a little bit down the road between here and Coeur d'Alene. Those who've been here a while will remember the old Garwood Saloon on Highway 95. So I grew up on East Garwood. And my husband and I settled in Sandpoint in 2016, which my brain can't comprehend that that's already been 10 years now that we've been in Sandpoint, but we love it up here.
And I've been with the Friends of Scotchman Peaks for a little over 3 years now. And yeah, took on the executive director role this January as our outgoing longtime leader, Phil Huff, is stepping into retirement. So it's been very exciting news for the Friends. And yeah, we've got some fun stuff planned this year. As always, our calendar is very busy, but yeah, we're excited. Looking forward to it.
Yes. And how did you find Friends Saskatchewan Peak Wilderness? You didn't start as executive director.
No, I didn't. I was first hired as the communications and engagement manager, and it was a quick climb from there. Stepped into the deputy executive director role, and then, when Phil had announced his plans to retire, it was kind of a natural next step for me to step into the leadership role. And how I came to the Friends, it really is just one of those, like, I sometimes say it fell into my lap, but that's not exactly true. It just was right time, right place, knowing the right people.
And I'm sure appreciating the goals of the mission of this organization and getting a good education through Phil. And now look at you. Here you are. And listeners, if you haven't met Rose, she's pretty young. So I think we're going to have her for a while. Fingers crossed. Mark, we can't say the same about you, but we appreciate you. Mark looks like he's my age, listeners.
Before we go any farther, I'd like to say that as the board chair, speaking for the board, we're thrilled to have Rose on board as the executive director. Phil announced his retirement probably about a year ago now. And we were very, very fortunate to already have Rose on board as the deputy executive director. And she had already proven herself as a leader, has done some fantastic things for the organization. And so it's perfect that she has stepped into the role of the ED. And it's great that she's going to be around for a while.
Thanks, Mark.
Yeah. And then how did I don't know your history, Mark, I'm sorry, but did you come here as a retiree and find Friends of Saskatchewan Peaks? How did you find this organization?
I'm retired from the military, but I'm still working in private practice as a chiropractor. Moved back to North Idaho, and after I retired from the Marine Corps, went to chiropractic college, moved to Coeur d'Alene in 2001, eventually found my way up to Sandpoint. Even before I moved to Sandpoint, I was already active as a friend of the Scotchman Peaks Wilderness. Became a board member about 6 years ago, I think, and the board chair about 3 years ago. And I anticipate being board chair for, till January of next year. We've got a really strong board. We've very recently brought some really, really high quality new board members on. So, the leadership within the organization is really strong right now. It's a great time to be part of the organization. And my volunteer stuff, I was part of the Rare Forest Carnivore Project, which was known as the Wolverine Project. I've been a trail ambassador since the outset. I was one of the original trail ambassadors. I've done tabling at various events and stuff like that. And it's a great organization. I love the organization, and I'm really passionate about our mission.
That's great news. And it sounds like you've worn the hat for just about every volunteer position, which I think helps the folks on the board.
A lot of the volunteer positions, yeah.
Yeah.
I've dabbled in, like you said, everything.
Yeah, that's great. And yeah. I see your face around town quite a bit. I know you're a pretty active person out and about, and you do you help out with a lot of stuff. So, all right, we know a little bit more about Rose and Mark. And Rose, do you want to go ahead and jump into our outline of topics?
Yeah, I'd love to.
All right.
So the main reason we're here today, next Thursday, March 26th, we're bringing the Wild and Scenic Film Festival back to the Panada Theater for the 7th year now. This is our biggest event of the year and one of our biggest fundraisers. So, hosting a film festival at the Panada is always just so exciting for many reasons. The films are great. The community is great. We always have fun raffle prizes, which we'll get into later. That's your teaser. and this year we're also, last year we brought the film festival also to our communities in Thompson Falls and Libby, and we're doing that again this year. So we have a three-stop Scotchman Peaks tour for the Wild and Scenic Film Festival. So Sandpoint is next Thursday, March 26th at the Panada. And the following Thursday, April 2nd, will be in Thompson Falls at the Rex Theater. And the following Thursday, April 9th, will be in Libby at the Mackey Theater.
Oh, neat. And all areas kind of surrounding the wilderness area, proposed wilderness area. And so hopefully you'll get good turnout.
Yeah, I hope so as well. And something else I always look forward to with our film fest, we, you know, in addition to the general film goers, we also host a super, we call it a superstar supporter party, or sometimes a VIP party at each of the shows. And so that is for our business sponsors, our big donors. Folks can just buy a superstar supporter ticket if they want the VIP experience. And that features a hosted pre-party before each show. And Sandpoint will be upstairs at iCarts. And so, yeah, those tickets are available on our website. And you can find out a little bit more about the catered VIP parties at each show, at each location.
And in addition to the party, they also get a preferred seating at the Panada.
That sounds really fun. You can make it an entire evening. Is there going to be a dinner then at iCarts, or just hanging out? How does that work?
We call it heavy apps.
Nice. Something to kind of load up your tummy before you sit and enjoy the great movies.
Mm-hmm. And I can't forget this part. Some of our sponsors that help us host these great parties. And Sandpoint, our big sponsors for this festival are KPND Radio, Idaho Forest Group, and of course, you all at KRFY Radio.
Yes, the listeners here have a heavy support for Friends of Scotchman Peak Wilderness, in no small part due to Phil, of course, who is one of our broadcasters and a great volunteer here. So congratulations, Phil, on your retirement. You can spend more time volunteering with KRFY now. Yeah. So, Rose, would you like to jump in and talk about what we can look forward to during this really great event in Sandpoint and then in the other locations?
Yeah, so the film lineup is the same at every show. So if you come to the Sandpoint show and you're like, that film was incredible, you have two more chances to come see it again. The film lineup this year, I'm pretty excited about it. If you are a longtime Wild and Scenic Film Fest goer, you might remember 2 years ago, we featured a film, I think it was called Brave Girl, and it was about a little girl and her grandpa who take on her first big hike. Anyway, this year she's back, and she's a little bit older and a little bit more of an experienced hiker, and her and her grandpa Gary take on a hike in the Italian Dolomites. And is that how you say it? Dolomites?
I think so.
Okay. Anyway, so it's very heartwarming, very sweet. That's Mountain Roots. Another film we'll feature is about locally led land trusts, which, folks here in Bonner County, we have our Kinnexu Land Trust, which is near and dear to many of our hearts. And so when this film came across as an option, we had to put it in. It is located in Park County, Wyoming, so not, it still gets the same.
Oh, yeah, it's the same idea. I'm going to be out in Pine Street Woods later today, so I'll be appreciating our local land trust. So
yeah.
That sounds like a great short movie.
A couple others. One that I'm really excited about is it's actually about two female scientists who are studying the effects of climate change on the world's smallest and fattest reindeer in Norway. That one's really sweet. And then a handful of others. We won't spill them on all here, but the final film of the evening is pretty interesting. It's set in the Crazy Mountains in Montana, and it's actually a backcountry ski-inspired film that focuses really intently on our public lands boundaries. And in many areas, especially that the Crazy Mountains in Montana, you might have seen like a checkerboard pattern on maps. where the public lands and private lands are a checkerboard. And so gaining access into these, into our public lands is not always straightforward. And so this film, it really dives into our public land boundaries, how you can get into some of these places when they're blocked by private land holdings. And yeah, it's just a really interesting look at recreation on our public lands in a bit more of an intense way. You know, they're doing some big backcountry lines, but it's pretty cool.
That does sound very interesting. I'm sure for listeners who get out and hike or do things hiking, hunting, fishing, it's a common experience to be within what we think are federal or state lands. And then there's, I think they call them inholdings. Is that what those are? The private property? I may not have the right term, but yeah, you think you're, obviously you think you're in a bunch of federal or state land, and then suddenly there's a no trespassing sign.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that'll be fun to explore that during your, during the film festival. Well, what else can we experience during film festival night? And let's talk about the time and some of the details too.
Oh, sure.
Tickets, etc.
Yeah, so doors open at 6 p.m., shows at 7. And since it's a weeknight, you know, I know for me personally, these film festival nights sometimes go past my bedtime. this is our film program's only about 90 minutes this year, and with the intermission, I'm hoping we'll be wrapped up around 9-ish or so, so folks can still get to bed on time. So yeah, doors at 6, show at 7, and during that intermission, you know, it wouldn't be a film festival without a heap of raffle prizes. And one of my favorite things that we are fortunate enough to raffle off, one of our board members, Chris Compton, is actually a pilot. And so he generously donates a scenic flight over the Scotchman's and the Cabinets at every one of our film festivals. So that's, in my opinion, that's like the big winner.
That's big. That would be so great. Wouldn't you love to win that one?
Yeah.
Yes.
And Mark, have you flown with Chris before over the Scotchman's?
I haven't flown with Chris, but I have flown over the Scotchman's, and it's breathtaking. And I actually don't buy raffle tickets for Chris's flight because I've already been over the Scotchman's, and I would hate to deprive somebody else that hasn't been. But yeah, it's an incredible scenic flight.
Right, a reason to go to be to the festival to go ahead and get entered on that one. Oh, how fun! And are they experiential raffle prizes in general, or are they things? What are they? What else do you have?
That's our biggest experiential one. Our other prizes, outdoor experience is always really generous with donating a prize, as well as Le Chic Boutique. So we've got really nice prize bundles from both of those local businesses. We've got some fun, you know, we always have a bear spray, bear safety kind of themed prize. And this year, we've been doing some pretty heavy office clean out. And speaking of Mark's experience with our Rare Forest Carnivore project, was that in 2015?
About that. It was actually a 4-year long project. Mm-hmm. Then with an extra year kind of tacked on that kind of was different people involved. But our involvement was 5 years, as I recall.
Well, I found a huge stash of game cameras from that project. And so we'll be including some of those. I hesitate to call them vintage because they're not that old. but we'll have some game cameras that were used in the Rare Forest Carnivore study as part of our bear safety, kind of wildlife safety package as well.
Game camera with some provenance.
Yes.
Who wouldn't want one that a game camera that was keeping its eyes open for wolverines, etc.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. Well, that sounds like a bunch of really interesting raffles, and then the film itself sounds fun. Is it as usual beer and wine available and popcorn?
Yep, the usual concessions at the Panada will be there, and yeah, you know, of course, we'll have an info table as well for if you're interested in the films but don't quite know about the Friends of Scotchman Peaks. We'll have staff and board and volunteer members aplenty, and you can stop by and chat with one of us at our info and merch table, and they'll help you out.
Plus, one of the great things about it is it's at the Panada, which is, you know, truly one of the gems of Sandpoint. And, you know, the people that attend this film festival are, you know, everybody's all in the same vibe. Everybody's got kind of the same perspective on conservation and the outdoors and stuff like that. So it's a really cool crowd. It's just, it's a fun group of people to hang out with in a really great place.
Yeah, that's a great point, because at times we feel it's easy as an individual to be home, or you're watching something on PBS and you're like, oh my goodness, how are we ever going to get things put back together on this, not only our continent, but in the world. And when you get with folks in Sandpoint, they'll often be from other nonprofits that are working on environmental issues or things that are connected. And it's just a time to get together and look at what's happening that is going well. And that's great for all people. And you might meet a new hiking buddy.
And one of the things, I think the reason we've stuck with the Wild and Scenic Film Festival for going on 7 years now, this film festival in particular, it's, I always appreciate their film selection. It's all about inspiring people to get out in nature. And, you know, like this year, the theme is mobilize, which Mark, can you speak more on the theme of mobilize and what that might mean with the Wild and Scenic Film Festival?
I mean, I can only kind of speculate. I mean, there's always a theme, and the theme runs through the films, and I haven't previewed the films as you have. But it's going to be something that when you attend the films, you watch the films, you're going to learn how to mobilize, how to actually take action in on conservation issues, things that you care about.
Yeah, which I think is something we always, many of us question, like, I want to be of help. I can always give dollars, but are there other ideas around that? So that's a great theme. Really is. Well, is there more you want to say about this event, or should we take a short song break and move on to other Scotchman
stuff? I'll wrap up the film event chat just with touching on our shows in Thompson Falls and Libby as well. The Libby show, especially if you know the area and you know Blackboard Bistro, the restaurant over there, it's a stunning restaurant. Like, the menu there is phenomenal.
I just ate there.
Did you? What did you think?
It was the best dinner I've had all winter.
That's exciting.
Fabulous. Yes.
So Blackboard Bistro is who hosts our pre-VIP party show at the Libby event. So if you've been looking for an excuse to try out a new place to eat, maybe the Libby show on April 9th is your ticket. Get one of the VIP superstar supporter tickets and get a sneak peek at the Blackboard Bistro menu.
Oh, for sure. I mean, it's a place where you would need to get a reservation, I think, if you weren't part of your event, because it's very popular and just really great. Well, that's fun, guys. That is a reason to get to Libby and watch the film again. All right. And let's just repeat the event, the time, the date, maybe tell listeners how they might get their tickets, et cetera. And then we'll go to a song break.
Sure. Yeah. So this is Friends of Scotchman Peaks Wilderness, and we are hosting the Wild and Scenic Film Festival next Thursday, March 26th at the Panada Theater in Sandpoint. Doors open at 6. Show is at 7. You can buy tickets online on our website or on the Panada's website. It's $15, $10 with a valid student ID. And we also have that superstar supporter package if you'd like to donate a little bit more. Next Thursday, March 26th.
And if you do buy the superstar star supporter package, which I really encourage, that pre-party is a lot of fun. Eichhart's really puts out a great spread of heavy hors d'oeuvres. But the pre-party starts, I believe, at 4:30.
Yes.
And then the pre-party attendees are then personally escorted by the board chair from Eichhart's to the Panada for the films.
That really does sound like a fun afternoon and evening. You could get to know some fellow supporters of the Friends of Scotchmen. As I said, maybe run into a new hiking buddy or someone who wants to sign up for a trail work project with you, et cetera, and help get everyone inspired. So I love that idea. Good going, guys. All right, well, we're going to take a short song break, and then we'll come back and hear about a few other things happening with Friends of Scotchman Peak Wilderness. If you're just joining us, this is KRFY, listener-supported community radio for the Idaho Panhandle. I'm Julie Calamine, the Tuesday Morning Show host, and we've been here with Rose Olson, who is the new executive director of Friends of Scotchman Peaks, and Mark Cochran, who's for a long And that was Tom Petty with Wildflowers. What a perfect song for this morning. There's going to be plenty of wildflowers bursting into bloom before too long up in that proposed wilderness area. I had a little spring anemone come blooming into life at my yard. It's purple. It's beautiful. And of course, you've probably seen the crocus all over town. But it is fun to see some flowers happening. Well, here we are back with Friends of Scotchman Peak Wilderness with Rose and Mark. And we've got more to talk about. Take it away, Rose.
Yeah, thanks, Julie. The thing that I'd love to share with everyone is about our Winter Tracks program, which if you're not a fifth grader at school, you might not have heard about it, but we're really proud of this program, and this was actually our 12th season hosting it. And so Winter Tracks, it's a hands-on outdoor education experience that we bring to the it's really targeted towards fourth and fifth graders, but we, you know, that's not a hard and fast rule. So it's a day field trip that we bring students out into, you know, an outdoor location in Bonner County. It's usually at Round Lake State Park. And it's a free full day of interactive learning led by experienced volunteers, natural resource professionals. We usually have a lot of volunteers, folks who come out from the Forest Service and Idaho Fish and Game, who come help teach different modules like wildfire, bear safety, things like that.
Are there tree IDs during that one too? Tree? I think I remember wandering through that one year when I was out hiking.
Oh, yeah. And actually, Ed Robinson has been a longtime volunteer for us. I think he told me this last season that I'm pretty sure he has taught every tree ID module for the Bonner County Winter Tracks since the program's inception. Does that sound right, Mark?
I don't know about everyone, maybe, but he's definitely been at it for a long time. One of our, you know, most valuable volunteers. And he was a longtime board member as well. He's retired from that now. But yeah, he's always been a very, very active, very valuable volunteer for the Scotchmans.
And just a great all-around guy and an artist on top of it all. So we're lucky to have him here.
Retired forester from IDL, so his tree ID skills are top-notch.
Yes, we can trust that he's going to ID things correctly. Good deal.
Yeah, so we bring this Winter Tracks program, like I said, to any school in Bonner County who wants to participate, as well as Lincoln County and Sanders County over in Montana as well. And, you know, this program, some of the reasons it's near and dear to me, one, it's free for students. It connects them to outdoor learning in the winter. You know, there's a lot of outdoor learning opportunities around here. A lot of them are in the summer. And so it's nice to provide a winter opportunity, show kids you can still go outside in the winter. The trees are still there. You can, you know, it's even better for learning how to track animals and look at, you know, deer prints or rabbit prints in the woods. What else do we learn about? Oh, the wildlife. Go ahead, Mark.
I was just going to say that they also get hands-on learning with bear spray. You know, there are these practice bear spray canisters that have stuff in them that's not actual bear spray, so nobody's going to hurt themselves. And we have a, you know, big bear silhouette target that we put on a tree and actually show kids how to use the bear spray canisters, and that's always a lot of fun.
I bet kids love that, shooting off a bear spray container that's shooting blanks, as it were, but they must really enjoy that. And it's a great learning experience because they may want to know how to do that at some point in life.
You know, I actually had never actually practiced shooting bear spray until I got to attend a winter track session. Yeah, you know, practice. You got to practice those things.
Yeah,
absolutely. Yeah. That's a good learning situation. All right.
Yeah, and Rose, I'm sorry, Rose, you were going to say something about wildlife.
Oh yeah, one of the modules we have at almost every winter tracks. I forget what we call it, but essentially we have this big tote of different wildlife pelts and horns and antlers. You know, we've got a lynx, black bear, the little weasels, all kinds of animals, and beaver pelts. And it's really exciting because the kids actually get to touch, you know, it's an experiential thing. So it's not like don't touch that. It's like, no, you can feel that, feel the difference between the beaver pelt and the otter pelt. And, you know, we talk about why do these animals develop their fur the way they do based on how they live, and they learn the difference between horns and antlers. It's just really exciting, and the kids are always super excited to when they get permission to touch the things on the table.
Yeah, pelts are fun to hang out with and touch. They're really a fun experience for mm-hmm. people. Well, good for you guys. So that's wrapped up for the season. It'll come again next year, but we've got things coming after the film festival. What else?
Yeah, after the film festival, we're pretty full on through summer. This year, we're actually launching a new initiative in May called Hike a Day May, and we have yet to fully launch that. But May is Mental Health Awareness Month, and so part of the idea around this program is just to encourage our community to get outside and hike. As we know in this room, hiking is an excellent way to boost your mental and physical health. And so, yeah, Hike a Day May. Anyone can join. It's free to sign up. We'll have kind of a self-reporting spreadsheet available for folks to log their miles. And you don't have to hike in the Scotchmans. It can be hiking anywhere because, as we know, May, the hiking terrain, hiking access is limited, although this year, who knows?
Yes, we don't know, but it can get a late start up in the mountains. So, right, we shouldn't have to only plan on hiking mountains in May.
Mm-hmm. And at the end of the month, whoever has logged the most miles will get a special feature on our website and newsletter. And conveniently, it wraps up, you know, the beginning of June, we have National Trails Day. And so at the end of May, beginning of June, we'll celebrate all our May Hike a Day May hikers at our National Trails Day event. Info incoming still. You'll have to keep an eye out on our website.
But what does that day look like? Is it a day of hiking or is it a gathering of folks? What is it typically like?
For us, we usually do an event in town, traditionally at Utara. I would guess it's going to be at Utara again.
Fun.
And then that first weekend is, we'll have a trail project. And I think, I want to say it's at Star Peak. Don't quote me. I can find out in like 2 seconds, though. So National Trails Day. For us this year, it'll be celebrating our Hike a Day May participants, kind of our first public launch of our summer trail schedule. We'll have some incentives for folks to sign up, some volunteer opportunity on that day. And then, yeah, that weekend we kind of put our money where our mouth is, but that's not right. We put our boots where our brain is. How would you
work for me?
And get out and
start working on stuff and hiking and repairing and just starting to enjoy those places.
Mm-hmm. I've got to know where the project is now. Hold.
That's yep, right.
It's Star Peak on Saturday, June 6th.
Okay. And it could it still be a little snowy up on Star Peak in June?
Hopefully.
I would think so. That's right. Anyway. Well, all right. So that begins the summertime. And that then is going to be opportunities to work on trails, go hiking. We thank Mark Cochran for joining us. See you, Mark.
And it's always a pleasure.
Yes. Good luck with everything, Friends of Scotchman Peaks. But we still have Rose. So Rose still has work to do.
Oh, yeah. And we've still, so that's just the first thing coming up in May. Also new for us this year in May, we are partnering with the Idaho Trails Association to host a summer gear swap in Coeur d'Alene. And that's going to be on May 9th at the City Park in Coeur d'Alene. There's details on our website and on the Idaho Trails Association website. I never say the whole thing. It's always ITA for me.
Me too. I'm on their advisory board and I have problems with it. So yeah. It's a mouthful.
All these acronyms I get used to and then trying to say the whole word is hard. But anyway, so Summer Gear Swap, we're partnering with ITA. There'll be info to come on where you can donate your used gear to help support make that a successful event. And if you're looking for some new summer gear, May 9th at the City Park in Coeur d'Alene.
What a great event, because so many of us have stuff we're not using and rather have different equipment. And it's a great way to maybe have to not spend quite as much money as we often end up spending for gear.
Absolutely. So start there, clean out your gear closet, find the stuff you haven't used for a year and send it our way.
That's right. And so does that become a donation to you guys? Then you'll grow some funds for that.
Yes, exactly. So this, it's a donation-based gear swap. We're not doing consignment this time around. That becomes a donation to the Friends and to ITA.
But I think so much nicer than just dropping it off maybe at a thrift store where someone who may or may not be as excited about hiking would go. They might just pick it up because they see it as a bargain. Who knows? But if it's really dedicated to, you know, outdoor activity and outdoors enthusiasts, hopefully it'll get to a good home and get used.
Yeah, absolutely.
Good deal.
From there we kind of roll into our summer season. And for us, we've already got our whole host of summer trail projects posted on our website. We've got some exciting opportunities this season, including a couple of overnight trips. There's even one women's only overnight at Little Spar Lake, which we did last year as well. And it was so, I wasn't there, but the photos, the work that these ladies did, it looked like such a great time.
And I have to just chime in and say that if you're a gal who hasn't done much trail work before, this is a great way to get introduced to it. I've led Women Only Weekends for Idaho Trails Association, and it's pretty empowering for folks that are new to hiking with other ladies and trail work. So good for you guys. And
yeah.
Lovely location for that too.
Yeah. We're pretty excited about that. And, fun fact, part of why we've been able to offer some more women's only events is because we are currently a women-led, women-staffed organization. I know, it's very exciting.
Amazing. So that's amazing, you guys.
We're a small team of four, including myself, and yeah, we're all powerful women trying to get out there.
That is really amazing. Kudos. So, and probably a little rare, I would guess, in...
You know, ITA also is an all-women
I didn't want to chirp in on that, but it is true. They're the other one out there, Idaho Trails Association. Good on both of you organizations. Mm-hmm. Way to go. And very effective. They're both getting a lot of work done, a lot of stuff done.
Yeah.
So we're just all smiles in the studio thinking about how nice that is. anyway, and then, you know, some of your hikes include interesting sort of learning opportunities, don't they? Like some plant ID or mushroom ID, things like that.
Yeah. So Julie, who she's our staff person over in Sanders County, she puts together our hike series. We do a summer series and a winter series. And those are free volunteer led hikes in and around the Scotchmans. And a lot of times they do have an educational focus. She puts a lot of effort into finding folks who will do like a tree talk or a wildfire talk or what tracking,
Yeah, or wildflower identification. Mm-hmm, I don't know if you've done that lately, but it's really nice in so many ways, because if you're feeling a little hesitant about hiking a trail you've never been on, you have that opportunity. And then to that, you're able to add a learning opportunity.
Yeah, absolutely.
Pretty cool.
And then, yeah, the other, I think we're going to run out of time before I talk about all of our opportunities, but the other big summer volunteer opportunity is our Trail Ambassador Program. And that is a Scotchman Peaks trail specific. And so for that, that's a 1 day volunteer commitment. And that's a really cool program. We partner with the Forest Service to make that happen. And essentially, you get some official garb and you get a hike Scotchman Peak Trail and just kind of gently educate other hikers how to recreate safely in mountain goat territory. You know, we've all seen the bad selfies that people try to take with wildlife, and goats have sharp pointy horns. You don't actually want to feed them your potato chips, even if they want them.
Bad things can and do happen if folks do that. And that is the purpose of the education.
Exactly. And since we've been doing that initiative, I should know this date. I want to say since 2016, because in 2015, there actually was a human goat incident. And, you know, when that happens, the solution is either put the goat down or close the trail. And neither of those are great solutions. And so the more we can educate our fellow hikers about safely recreating, the better. And since this program's been going, there has not been another incident. So I think that speaks to itself for the success.
It really is successful. And speaking from personal experience with that program, I've done it a few years. I can't remember how many years. And I'll do a day every summer. And what's so nice about it is, I think, is that it's a nice incentive to get out and spend a day out on Scotchman Peak. You might not need that incentive, but it's also a relaxed way to do Friends of Scotchman, because you can just meander your way up and talk to folks. You don't even actually have to get to the top if you don't want to, although why not? It's so great to make it all the way up. But it's a day-long experience, and it creates an opportunity to meet other hikers that love that particular hike and also do a little good and try and protect our interface with a really cool animal, the mountain goat.
Yeah, and it's always early summer is great for many reasons to get out there, but to see the baby goats is especially sweet.
Amazing. Yes, it is. Don't see them at too close of range, though. No way.
No. And yeah, so lots of volunteer opportunities, and those are all on our website. So you can sign up to come do a trail project with us. You can sign up to join us on a free guided hike. You can sign up to be a trail ambassador on Scotchman Peak. There's other events that pop into our calendar here and there. But, Hike a Day May, like I spent a lot of time chatting about earlier. Lots of ways to engage with us over the summer. And some important notes, though, about the upcoming trail season. There are some pretty serious road closures in effect around the Scotchman Peaks area. If you all remember the all the flooding and winds that we've been having, especially in December, the Lightning Creek Road outside of Clark Fork is currently closed, and that is actually our access point for a handful of trails that we will not be able to get to this summer.
Right. And that, I suppose, is a little bit of a crapshoot in terms of understanding when that road will get repaired. I remember other times when we've had washouts in some of these forests, and it can be a while. Sometimes it doesn't happen the next summer.
No. And, you know, I don't want to speak for the Forest Service, but the last intel I got is that we're not expecting that road to be up for at least a couple years.
Wow. What a disappointment, because it is access to a lot of great trails.
Mm-hmm.
But what can we do? We'll just have to experience some different places this year.
Yeah. And so for us, that means on the Idaho side in the Scotchmans, our only trails we'll be able to get into for trail work are Goat and Scotchman, which if you've been up either of those trails, you know that they're due for some focused work as it is. So,
In the end, maybe it'll be just fine. There'll be plenty mm-hmm. to do, and we'll all be able to spend a little more time on those trails.
And the other kind of important summer road closure to note is this one's especially heartbreaking, but Ross Creek Cedars over on the Montana side was pretty devastated in that weather event as well. And if you've been following, if you know, they just fully redid that whole trail system last summer. And so it's especially heartbreaking.
It is heartbreaking because the road, you know, the turnoff and road in was all redone and the parking lot was improved and mm-hmm. just made for great access to one of the more beautiful, beautiful hiking spots in the area. So that's a bummer. That wasn't that challenging either. That
right.
was an area where folks of many abilities could get in and experience a great spot.
Mm-hmm.
So I suppose that one could be a couple of years too then.
I would expect so. And as far as I know, you can still walk in, but...
It's a good hike in. It's not for the faint of heart.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Oh, well. Well, we'll just keep our fingers crossed that they get some funding and get some plans made to get those two roads taken care of.
Yeah.
Well, all right. We're coming to the end of our hour, Rose, and it really went quickly. It always does when talking with you guys. Is there anything else you'd like to talk about before we call it quits?
No, I just hope I see every single one of you listeners at the Wild and Scenic Film Fest at the Panada next Thursday, March 26th. Doors at 6, show at 7. Tickets are $15. You can buy them on our website or at the door. And this year we do have a reduced price student ticket as well. You must have a valid student ID, but $10 will get you in for that. And
that's about it.
Yeah.
And they can just go to scotchmanpeaks.org to do all of these things.
Yep. Scotchmanpeaks.org. Thanks, okay. Julie.
And if they want to be a super, super supporter, they can do that there too.
Yep, exactly.
And make a day of it. Get over to Eichhardt's early and have some heavy hors d'oeuvres, maybe a beer, mm-hmm. and then go and enjoy that great film festival.
Yeah.
All right. Well, Rose Olson, I want to thank you for joining us. Executive Director of Friends of Scotchman Peak Wilderness, and Mark Cochran had to duck out a little early. Imagine he had an important thing going on. And it's been great. We know everything we need to know now for the summer in terms of how to get out and get on a great adventure.
Thanks, Julie.
You bet. Thanks, Rose. Okay, listeners, this is KRFY, listener-supported community radio for the Idaho Panhandle. I'm Julie Calamine. We're going to go out with some fun songs. This one will be The Trog's Wild Thing. I think that's a pretty good one. And then there might be one that was picked out just